thank you, Father, for the time of the year here, Lord, as you're changing everything around and for your guidance and direction. We know that you rule the weather, and we thank you, Father, for us knowing that you do that. And we praise you for everything that you do give to us. We thank you, Father, for just all your help that you do help us each day. We thank you for each family that's represented here today and for meeting the needs there, Father, that you did this past week. And we hope that you'll do the same thing this next week also, Father. We're just putting our faith and trust in you. We ask now, Lord, that you would just help us here today, Lord, with the lesson. And as we go over children, we just ask you would just help us to bring our children up in the admonition of you, that we could have children there, Father, that will serve you and that will do the same thing with their children, teach them to serve you. So we thank you for it. We ask you to be with us now. Enlighten us. Let your Holy Spirit just teach us the things that we need to be taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was two boys. One was older than the other. The one was combing his hair. The younger one was combing his hair, getting ready to go to church. And the older brother said, "I want the comb." He grabbed the comb. He wouldn't give him the comb, the younger one, so the older one grabbed the comb out of his hand and shoved him to the floor. You didn't know what went on. How would you handle it? All you heard was the hollering and screaming. How would you handle it, Corby?
That's a tough one. It all depends on the situation. And sometimes you can tell just by the way the kid's attitude, personality has been throughout the day. Who initiated that? Sometimes. And so that helps. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Anybody else? You older ones, how would you handle that? It was in your family. It wouldn't matter if you give them both combs. They'd still fight over it.
Just give them equal treatment.
You stew on that for a while. I'm going to give you the answer how the mother handled it later on, but you just stew on that a little bit, and you think about how that happened. Or what you would do. We're going over the hows and the whys of spanking and that kind of stuff. And we just finished up the whys of the spanking. And there was people that had questions. So that's what we're going to go over today. Some of the different questions that people have on this. The first question. When is my child old enough to spank? We talked about this a little bit, but when are they old enough to spank? What do you think? Exactly right. That's good. Very good. When they start, they decide that they're not going to disobey. They're going to disobey you. Maybe it's time. But do you feel there's a certain age? You know, a lot of that world out here thinks that there's a certain age that you've got to go to. And you just let and ignore things until that age, you know, until that age comes. Well, you think about that. Well, you're shaking your heads. Why? Oh, my. What's that?
Obey because they know if they don't, there's consequences.
do you think they really reason if you just sit down and try to talk to them when they're younger, when they can't even talk? Elizabeth, that was your dad that said that, so. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea. It never worked? Huh. Wasn't that something? I was always the angel in my family. My brother was the troublemaker, so.
He's the one that got caught, right?
No, it was always me. He did something, I got it. Exactly right. I was the oldest. Yeah. Well, when your child's old enough to be to resist your directives, he's old enough to be disciplined. You know? If they don't want to listen to what you say, it's time to discipline, you know. When he's resisting you, he's disobeying. And if you fail to respond, you keep those rebellious things just an ongoing thing. It just keeps going and going and going. You know, if they can get away with it, they're going to continue to do it. But if you discipline, you know, they're going to start to understand. What about an infant? You know, just a baby. You know, can you tell whenever they want to rebel against you when you want to change diapers? How can you tell that? What happens? What do they do?
Pull over.
They do. They try to get away from you. That's right. They roll over. They just do all kinds of things like that there, you know. They're rebelling against you. That's exactly what they're doing. Do you think you ought to get their attention at that time? Mm-hmm. How about if you want to hold them? And you put them up in your lap, and you know how they do? Stiffen themselves up, and boom, slide right down off. What do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to rebel. You think you ought to get their attention? We should. We should get their attention. You know, if you want to bring your children up, that you want obedience, you want them to know that you have the authority, you've got to start young. You can't wait till, just like the pastor said, they're a teenager. They're still going to rebel against you no matter what, you know. You can't wait till then. You know, some people think, you know, that you shouldn't touch a child till they're at least 8 months old or older. Well, you're asking for trouble. That's when you're asking for it, you know. Start when they're young. You have to start when they're young, you know. It's just like the guy here that I'm taking these lessons from, he said that their youngest son, he was just starting to crawl. And they had in their first place, and you know how you do in your first place, you don't have the money for everything, you know, all at once. So they built bookshelves with bricks and boards, you know, and they had books on it. And they didn't want the baby trying to crawl up on this, you know, because kind of it falling down on him, so she tried to show him, don't do this, and set him away from it, you know. And you know, their baby, they don't understand. But his wife, as she did this, she walked into the other room, but she kept peeking around the corner, and she could see that little baby that just started to crawl look around the room as if there was that, checking it out to see if anybody was there. Crawled right back over to the bookshelf. And they said, they took care of it right there. The discipline action had to happen. It took place right there. And you do, you know, that is when the child is old enough to be disciplined. You know, whenever they're going against and they resist your directives, he's old enough to be disciplined. He or she's old enough to be disciplined. So, you know, it's just one of them things. They need to understand. And you have to teach them that. That's your job and responsibility, you know. God does the same thing to us, you know. He teaches us. He disciplines us. Hebrews 12, verse 8 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." He chasteneth us, and he wants us to chasten our children too. Just the same, you know, to bring them up, to get them going the right direction. He does that to us to get us going the right direction sometimes, you know, and that's what we have to do. So when's my child old enough? Well, we see here, you know, it's whenever they're resisting, it's time. Now, I know that none of you have ever, with this question, you've never gone through this whatsoever. And this will probably help you out when it happens the first time. What if my child says, "But I didn't hear you"? What do you do then? Now, you know that they heard you, but that's their excuse. What do you do? "I didn't hear you." Why are you sitting back there smiling? Huh? Well, you know he would hear you, that's for sure. What would you do? Go ahead, Ron.
I'd make sure they hear me and expect them now to do whatever it was that I asked them to do.
It's all right. Anybody else? What would you do? Pastor, what would you do? I'm sure that never happened in your family.
It's difficult because, you know, we've got some lying to Jesse, and that's part of it.
Well, we're going to get into that part here directly, but.
So I'm going to try to determine, well, did they really not hear me, or they just lying about it? And sometimes I err in that, but I go ahead and discipline anyway, because I think he's lying.
Did it ever happen to you that you have stood there, you watched that child, and you told that child they're doing something, and you told that child to go do something, and they keep doing what they're doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you say to them, and they say, "I didn't hear you." Go ahead. Corby.
Oh, I was just thinking, I know we've tried, we fail at it pretty good values at this point, but we try and get them to say yes or yes ma'am, so that we know that they know that we heard, they mean what we say, so that we know that they heard us. And I don't want to do good for another week, and it just kind of falls by the wayside. But, you know, that's, you gotta nip some things in the bud before you become a problem.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Have I've seen in my
This guy said that he set them down. He set this child down that said, you know, that I didn't hear you. When he told him a directive, you know, he said he didn't hear it. He said he set them down and he said to the child, now I'm talking to you right now. You can hear my voice. I want you to understand that when I tell you to do something, I want you to do it. And if you don't do it, he said, the next time, he says, you need to get your hearing squared away that you can hear what I say. And if you don't, you're getting a spanking. And so he said, we went through this and he said, you know, after the first spanking, the hearing just happened to all of a sudden just come together just like that, he said. So, you know, do you have to sit down maybe sometimes and just say to the child, look, just like this guy did, you know, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen if you don't listen to what I try to tell you. You know, and children, they will play games with you like that. You know they do. You know they're playing the game with you that they didn't hear you. Whenever they're doing something, just like I said, whenever they're doing something and you speak to them, you know, and they keep doing what they're doing, they've heard you. Believe me. But they know if they want to test you, they will test you to see how far they can go and get away with it. We have some grandkids that do that same thing to us, you know. But, you know, a lot of times, and I mean, I even seen my kids take their kids and say, put their face right here, look at me, you know, I want you to look at me when I talk. And then, you know that they've heard. And then what comes next, I won't say. But anyhow, so, you know, that answers that question. Now, here's a question that a lot of some people have. If I follow your counsel, and it's talking about this guy, you know, in this book here that I'm taking this from, he says, all I do is spank. Does that sound very familiar?
You do.
What I want to know is, how's that fellow? Dean, this is a stupid question, but you're trying to tell me that kid listened after the first spanking? That doesn't happen in our house. Sorry, it doesn't. It's not. It's for a kid to just stop and,
well,
and listen to the instruction after the first spanking is pretty impressive in my life.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure how you're trying to really get their attention, you know. But I don't like to say this. I probably would get, the second time, I really would probably get their attention. I mean, the first time's bad enough, but the second time.
You want to come down, Dean?
No. My grandkids to this day, when I go to the one place where I have my yardstick and I go there and open the door. Well then, let's see. Does anybody have a whip that we can loan to the? Well, he's saying, you know, some people, and the reason that he's talking about this is, you know, if you're constantly, just like you're saying here, you know, you're constantly, it's a constant thing all the time. But he's saying, you know, that, you know, some people want to give up on the discipline and they just let it go. And he's saying that, you know, consistency is the key. He said, you may have to have a whole day of just going from child to child to child and coming back and going from child to child. He said, you may have a whole day of doing this, but you're shaking your head because you know what it's like. You know exactly what he's talking about.
You have to devote a certain time of your life where you're absolutely doing nothing else but going from child to child and
Oh, it is for parents. It definitely is for parents, you know. Okay, Monday, we're not doing nothing else but. Yes.
And I still do, but a lot of trouble with Brianna. She's the one that we have the most trouble with. And I forget how it worked out, but we got advice from somebody, and I attached her to me with aprons. Like, I would wear an apron, and she would wear it, and we would attach each other. It was one of the most, it was extremely stressful because she was with me everywhere I went. But not that it was like, you know, she never did anything bad after that. It's just not the way it is with her. But I could see improvement, and it had to do with the fact that I wasn't telling her something or giving her a directive or disciplining her and then turning around and walking away and doing something else. She had to have that, no, this is, I'm watching you all the time, and this constant discipline. Now,
Yeah, and it, but it was a consistency, wasn't it? I mean, she was there. It was a consistent thing, and.
But then I noticed that I wasn't paying attention to the others, and then say it was like, yeah.
Let me read just a few things here. What this guy says? He says, "I pity parents who spend their entire life in contest over obeying when authority can be settled early in childhood." I can agree with that to a point, you know. But, I mean, so you got your older ones. How is it? You know what I mean? They still, I mean, some of the childhood years are starting to get, you know, closer to the teenage years. And how are they handling it? How's it going now? You're still disciplining, right? You have to be, you know. So, you know, I can agree to this to a certain point, but, you know, I don't know, you know, that you're going to just wipe it clean just in early childhood. I think it's just like he says here, it's a consistency that you have to do it. And he says here, there may be days in which nothing much gets done because of the demands of the consistent discipline, but faithfulness will yield a good harvest. Now, that is a good saying, if you're faithful at it. But, you know, some parents just decide, I just can't take it anymore. They just let it go, and they're not consistent at it.
You're to the point where you're just frustrated and not going to handle it appropriately. I mean, there comes times where, you know, that if you were to handle it, it's not going to be handled appropriately, which is better.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, he did. He obeyed this, but he didn't in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know.
I think that, I don't know, to me, you know, just thinking about this and even talking and just what you were talking there, I think the discipline thing is a lifelong thing. You know, from kids on up until you die. You know, you die. Because God disciplines us. You know, just like I read there, you know. Let me read this again. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Just like his children and your children. You know, you're taking care of your, and we're his children. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye are partakers, and then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? So, I mean, we get chastised, you know, the same way. And I don't know why. To me, it just seems like it's a lifelong thing, you know, from childhood on up. And you're right. I mean, we adults, you know, even Christians, you know, we don't listen. You know, we have the Word of God. We have a preacher that preaches it. You know, you go to different areas. You have evangelists that comes in that preaches it to you. But, you know, do you always follow it? Do you think, though, maybe that was kind of put in, though, I mean, even though that it didn't bother him, but it bothered you guys, don't you think that kind of put the fear into you that you didn't want to go through all that, you know? And there's kids that do that, you know. By seeing their siblings get it, you know, that puts the fear into them. Buddy, I better watch my step. But just what you were talking there about your mother giving you the grace, isn't it something how God gives us the grace? Buddy, there's times where we definitely need it, you know, to get us straightened out, to get us back into what we're supposed to do, you know, and he gives us that grace. That's amazing to me. I just, you know, that's something I could never explain, you know, God's grace. It's just something else that he gives to us. So, you know, basically, you know, yes, you know, there's times where you just want to give up, but just try to be consistent, you know, keep after it, you know, and you know, later on, I believe it's going to pay off for you if you don't, or if you do. Now, the next question here, and we've gone over this in here and here a lot, but we'll go over it again. What if I'm too mad? What do you do then? You're just like Natalie's saying here, she's frustrated. Now, she's starting to boil, you know. And she's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Now, what do you do, you know? Do you discipline then? Or do you kind of?
I don't know. It's different for everybody. But I know that the discipline has been more effective and you're calm when you do it. And then when we're like, our lid is flipped and we're just, you know, boiled over and had it. You know, if you discipline out of anger, it definitely isn't as effective as it is when you're calm and have more authority. But I don't know that at that moment, you know, when it still needs to be done, what's the right answer? Mm-hmm.
Extreme, you know, and that the child does. And
yeah, I can remember a time when
so upset and angry, and I grabbed her and I spanked her right there and then. I was probably not in a good frame of mind, but it was like, you know, it was one of those, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to get hit.
To answer your question, I'll just say this, and the pastor, and I seen Amy's hand too. Be angry and sin not. Don't ask me any more to explain it, but Amy.
I know there were times kids got and I was pretty hot. But there were times, and I think I feel like I was having to learn it as they were growing up, because I was very short-tempered. If I knew I was very, very angry, I would have to sit them down, and they knew I was angry. I would have to sit them down and walk away, and I would go to my bedroom. I would pray, and they knew I was. I would pray, and then I came back and dealt with it. But they knew I was going to pray, because they knew, you know, they knew how I tried to handle things. And I think that helped, because they knew that I was trying to deal with it right, because they knew they upset me pretty bad. So sometimes it's good for them to see how you're going to handle it, but it's very, very hard. I was very short-tempered.
Pastor.
The verse you quoted there, I think, is key. Be angry and sin not. God disciplines us in anger. The problem with anger is if it gets out of control and it becomes a beating and not discipline. But as long as you're not getting out of control, I think it's, you don't have to be completely calm and reserved. But if you're going to take it much farther than you should, then you better put yourself in time out for a little bit before you go ahead and do it.
I definitely didn't always discipline in the right way in times of anger, but it's so much easier to talk about disciplining your children when you have two or three children. But to have a larger family, that's got to be tough. That would be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's like an area that you can send each one of them to. They have their own spot that you send them to, especially if you're going from one to the next. And then they have to sit there till you come to each one and deal with them. I'm just trying to think of something, because it's got to be extremely difficult to have that many. You're trying to deal with one, and then how many other ones are getting in trouble?
Well, this is what this guy says, you know, the same thing there, you know, just what some of you are saying, you know. You need to send them to their room or have them sit down on a chair, and then you need to go someplace, and just like Amy said, you need to pray, get God, you know, go to God, and, you know, calm down, cool down. Listen, I was one, honest, and I'm going to admit it. You can even ask my brother. It didn't take me long to flip out. You know, that's something that I had to learn through the years, though, you know, to calm my temper, you know. But I did spank in anger a lot, you know, and I don't think it was good. I do not think it was good. You can ask my wife. Of course, though, she did too. Both of us had, you know, because we just, you know, and a lot of times what happens is you're doing something, you know, and you're concentrating on that, and then all of a sudden, that's when it seems like the devil likes to take them children, and he likes to just, you know, get them to do something, you know, and then bam, you know, you're frustrated at what you're doing, and then, you know, and a lot of times you're not taking care of that rebellious act that they did, but you're taking care of that frustration that you have, you know, that's coming out in you, and you shouldn't do that, you know. I did. I wished I'd. You see, this is just one thing I was thinking about. You know, all the years, when my wife and I got married, I told her, you know, that I wanted to bring it, we wanted to have a Christian family, bring them up in the Christian church and stuff, you know, and I told her about salvation and stuff, and she got saved through it. So we started going to church, you know, and we went through, I don't know, we went through a few different churches, you know, that we went to different places. But you know what? I've never, and I cannot remember, and you can recall, and maybe you can help me on this, I've never been in any kind of child training in any of them churches. Do you remember that? Nobody ever. Now why wouldn't a biblical, Bible-believing church have at least some kind of classes, you know, for raising children? You know, they should do that. It's something they should do, you know, because, I mean, how do you know? You know, you're not going to sit down. I mean, even you ones that have big families, you know, you're not going to sit down at first when you're first saved and stuff and try to seek out what there is in the Bible, you know, for raising children. You don't have, you know, you just don't have the time. You're reading your Bible. You maybe have a little Bible study or something, you know, with the children and stuff, and you probably never even think about anything like that, you know, at that time. You know, but, you know, churches should have some kind of a training for young people, you know, especially bringing up children. And that's why I like the older people in here, because they can give you advice on some of the things that they did. Maybe it was wrong, and you can think, wow, I could do this opposite way, you know, and it might be the right thing, you know, according to the Bible. So that's why I enjoy this here, and I like this, you know, by doing this way. So, you know, if we get mad, you know, we need to do that. We need to put the child, and then we need to get ourselves right with God. And then we need to go to the child, you know, and seek forgiveness. And you don't seek forgiveness this way and say, I'm sorry, I got mad at you and yelled. But when you did that, you're starting to point out their sin. You know, you need to point out your own sin. You say, seeking forgiveness is saying, I'm sorry, I sinned against you. I was mad. I threw a temper fit. And you do, you know, just like they do. You throw a temper fit. And there's no justification for the behavior like that. Please forgive me. And when you give reasons for your sin, you are not asking forgiveness. You're simply justifying your sin. So when you're pointing out, you know, their sin, you know, but you're pointing out your own sin, that you sinned, and you can be able to use that to teach them, you know, about sin itself with God, you know, because, you know, as some of them, as you're bringing them up, they need to know what sin is. So I don't know if that helps or not, but, you know, that's just one of them things, you know, that, you know, try not to discipline when you're mad. And I agree. I mean, when you have these bigger families like these younger ones have, buddy, I mean, it's difficult, you know. You just got done with one, and you get back to what you're doing, and then you got to go to another one, and you got to go to another one, and you got to go to another one. And I can see it get frustrating. I can see that. Well, I'm saying,
they may have handled it incorrectly, but you were the one that was provoking everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that if you got hot under the collar and then you did what you did, you disciplined in anger, that's where you have to, you know, I don't see nothing the matter with what you're saying there, you know, about telling them, you know, okay, this is what brought this on, you know. There's nothing the matter with that, you know. And this is why you're getting what you're going to get.
There's a difference between a teaching situation, what she's explaining, mm-hmm. and asking for forgiveness. I got convicted there. I do that pretty often. You know, if I treat one of the kids inappropriately because of what they've done, my apology usually ends up me using it as a teaching and
Mm-hmm.
And
did I see your hand?
Which brings me to a question. How do you handle a situation where, let's say you have two kids, and the one kid was antagonizing, and the other kid punches them because they're mad, and then that kid is then sitting there sobbing and crying? Who do you, punish both? Do you just punish the one that hit? Do you, like, do you not punish any of them? What do you do in that situation? Because to me, they're both wrong, because, you know, one shouldn't have been antagonized. And then the other one shouldn't have hit. They should have walked away, told mom, told dad, whatever. What do you do in that situation? Did you not spank the one that was antagonizing because they already got what they deserved? I mean, you know?
Okay. I have two more people here, and I want to come back to that, because I want to bring that in, that what I started out with these two boys. Okay, I think that's something similar to what you were talking about. I seen your hand.
CYS committed abuse, but, you know, overspent. But anyway, my one child just kept, one day, it just was getting to me, and I could feel my anger. And I just sat down, I said, you've got to help me, because my anger is boiling right now, and I could really crush you. And I just said, you know, you have got to help me, and you're kind of creating this. Making it worse. So there's nothing wrong with sharing that with them. And it did help him to realize, you know, I'm not helping my mom. She's got an issue that she's learning to deal with, and I need to help her instead of making it worse.
Okay.
I think Corby already kind of said this, but I really believe that you have to be careful that you're not allowing that child's anger to create your sin, and then you're apologizing in a way that, well, if you wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have sinned. Because the only people that we are really in control of is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in control of anybody else, really. I mean, we can point our kids in the right direction, we can teach them the right ways to live, all that, but ultimately, we're responsible for us. Mm-hmm. So I really feel that you can take those moments and make them teaching moments, but I think you have to be careful you're not allowing, because you're setting a precedence for them to say, I hit him because he hit me. Well, that's still not right. You know what I mean? Like, it's still wrong to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I started out with something similar to that, what you're just saying there. You know, if you were here, I said about, you know, the younger boy was combing his hair. The older boy came and said, I want the comb. The younger boy said, I'm not done. The older boy took it from him and gave him a shove, threw him down on the floor. And mother heard this. She was in the bathroom. Okay, here's how this mother handled this. I'm not saying that this is, you know, one of the right things to do, but I kind of like what she did. So the younger boy comes to the mother, and she says to him, okay, what's going on? And he started to tell her, she says, stop. I want you to start all your sentences with I. I thought that was pretty smart. Because, you see, he started to say, then he says, I was combing my hair, and my brother wanted it, the comb, and he took it from me and shoved me down. And she said, okay, so you were doing this, okay? She said, can you two settle this amongst yourselves? He said, no. She said, go call your brother. So the older brother came in. She said to him, I want you to start your sentences with I. She said, go ahead. He said, I wanted to comb my hair so that I could go, but he said, my little brother gave me a push, so I pushed him back and knocked him down to the floor. Now she said, okay, now if we look at the Bible, she said, how will we do this by starting our sentences with I? She said, you're first, the younger one. He said, No, she said to the older one first, she said, "You're first." He said, "Well," he said, "I was selfish. I did do wrong by doing that." And then she said to the other one, you know, to the little brother, she said to him, you know, you start out and you say. So he said, I should have shared this here, you know, the comb with my brother when he asked me for it, and I shouldn't have shoved him whenever he did, you know. So she was bringing them to, trying to show them, you know, what they did wrong with their sin, that they did wrong. But she was making them say, I did this. It's not, as kids come to you, they did this to me, you know, that one did that to me, you know. But she was making them come to them. And she said, she made them apologize. And they both, the one said to them, you know, the older one said to the younger one, you know, I was selfish, I shouldn't have did this. You know, the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't do this. And so, you know, and any other, the younger one said, I'm sorry, you know, I shouldn't have been that way either. You know, I should have shared this with you. And she said, okay, now I want you to shake hands and hug one another. And she did, and she didn't even have to do any more. It took care of the problem. I'm not saying that always happens, and I'm not saying that will happen, you know, but I kind of like that idea that, you know, look, when you're talking to me, you start out your sentences and you say, I, because the fingers are pointing back to you, you know, what did you do? So.
It's always somebody else. Mm-hmm.
I hear them conversations all the time with the grandkids now. Okay, I've got to stop there. We'll pick this up next week. There's a few more questions, and then we'll start something a little bit different. Something about a hyperactive children, but we'll talk about that. Okay, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the different aspects of raising children. And we thank you, Father, that you teach us in your word how you constantly are trying to train us and how we need to apply this to our children also as being in authority, just as you are in authority over us. So I thank you, Father, for your word and the different aspects of it and the different teachings. And we thank and praise you for it all now. In your name we pray. Amen.